Hey guys, I'm Pastor Jason Shirley. I'm the associate pastor right here at Word of Life Church in Carlsbad, New Mexico. And I'm really excited that you have joined us today online. Just a couple of things. I want you to drop us a line if you're watching wherever in the world and let us know where you're watching from. We would love to hear from you. Second, if you want to partner with us today in a financial way, then you can give by texting 84321 and just text your amount, or you can go to our website, wolcarlsbad.com, and you can click the Give tab and give that way. The last thing today is that if you have any needs or anything like that that we can partner with you on, then drop us a line and send us that, and we're going to partner with you in prayer. I believe today is going to be a wonderful day. I want you to open up your heart to receive from the Word of God today. And always remember that God is madly in love with you. Let's get to the service.
I've really enjoyed this series. How about you? Have you enjoyed this series on Holy Spirit? It's been really good. We've got one more week after this one. And next week is Pentecost Sunday, which we're excited about. And we're going to cap off our series on Holy Spirit, but today, to be honest, we're going to talk about something that I've never spoken on, an avenue of Holy Spirit and His ministry that God has just been revealing to me over the last 2 or 3 weeks. And what's crazy is that I have been preparing this message, and then I started hearing other people talk about it, and I'd never even heard. So maybe, I don't know if it's because they saw my notes, or maybe the Holy Spirit is just moving in this way in His church. So I'm excited to bring the Word. Let's pray and let's invite the teacher to teach us. Amen. Father God, we thank You today that You have given us Your Word. We thank You that as we open up Your Word today, that it's spirit to us and it's life to us. And so I ask today that You lead and guide by Your Holy Spirit, as You've already done in this room. But we reiterate our position today, and we say less of us and more of You. And so speak through me, that the words that I say, God, not be my words, but be Your words, so that no one's faith would stand in the wisdom of a man, but it'll stand in the power of Almighty God. And we ask You today that You will continue to confirm Your Word with signs following, as You said You would. We give You thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys say amen. 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 We see a word in the Bible quite a bit. It's the word suddenly. Suddenly. And suddenly carries this idea or this connotation that it's something that happens quickly, something that happens unexpectedly. Maybe you're surprised, maybe you're scared, maybe you're startled, but it happens suddenly. We're going to talk about this word suddenly and things that happen suddenly. So the word is, I'm not an English major. In fact, I didn't even do good in English like in high school or junior high or any of those things. So I'm going to give you a grammar lesson today. Does that work? So you're thinking, you just disqualified yourself, and now you said you're going to give me a grammar lesson. Well, I write my own rules because you don't tell me what to do. Nobody tells me what to do. So writing my own rules today. And the word suddenly, according to the dictionary, it's an adverb, and it means quickly and unexpectedly. But today, we're going to make a change to the dictionary because I don't think they really knew what they were doing, all right? So, are you guys with me today, or you think this is the stupidest thing you've ever heard? Tiffany's with me. She has a ring on her finger that says she kind of has to be, at least for right now. Anybody else with me today? Okay, let's try one more time, because you're just giving it to me out of courtesy now, and that's okay. Anybody else with me today? Amen, amen. All right, suddenly, let's put it up here. This is me. This is what I write. Suddenly is this. It's suddenly, noun. I don't care about adverb, whatever, your Mad Libs, you're filling in that stuff. You know you have to look it up whenever you do a Mad Lib with your kids. Suddenly, noun, an event that changes everything. An event that changes everything. Luke chapter 8, verse 22. I have some scriptures up, some I don't. You can download, I think we have a QR code. You can download my chicken scratch notes today. Luke chapter 8, verse 22. Now it happened, I don't know which ones we have and which ones we don't. So now it happened on a certain day. I always love it when it says a certain day. And you guys have heard me talk about this before, but it'll say a certain day. The Bible will say a certain man. There was a certain woman. There was a certain place. I always take that to mean this one wasn't just by chance. This one was handpicked. This is a certain day. So this means it was a special day. It was an ordained day by God. Amen? This was the day. This is a certain day. Amen? I'm just going to keep saying it louder, so maybe you'll keep saying it louder. Amen? Now it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples. You're like, man, I don't know if you guys remember anything that I say, but if you do, you may be thinking, man, I just heard you speak on this like a month ago or something. Okay, I'm just going to touch on it because God keeps opening up more things. Now it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, let us cross over to the other side of the lake. Say that with me. Let us cross over to the other side of the lake. And they launched out and they sailed, but as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake, and they were filling with water, and they were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we are perishing. Then he arose, and he rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. But he said unto them, where is your faith? Say that one, where is your faith? And they were afraid, thank you. And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, who can this be? For he commands even the winds and the water to obey him. Okay, so disciples, Jesus, they get into a boat. Jesus said, let's cross over to the other side of the lake. Now, this account is not just in the book of Luke, but it's also told by Matthew and by Mark. And in Matthew's version of this story, it says, and suddenly there was a storm that came. Suddenly, there's that word. Suddenly a storm came. Now, maybe you would say, well, that fits the definition of it being unexpected, because they didn't know that a storm was going to come, but suddenly there was a storm that came. But I would argue this, that Jesus had spoken to them and he said, let's get in the boat, let's go to the other side of the lake. But the Sea of Galilee, if we look at it historically and the way that it's positioned, is very prone to storms. Because of where it sets and in the middle of the mountains, winds will come up over the mountain, descend on the lake, and when they descend on the lake, it creates storms in the lake. And this happens often, and they knew that. They were from there. So they knew it was a possibility that as we go, there could be a storm. They knew that was a possibility. And so Jesus says, let's cross over to the other side of the lake. They get in the boat, and he takes a nap. I'm not going to go way into this. I'm telling you, maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, or it may have been a little longer than that, we went into this in depth. But I want you to focus here that it seems like storms are always unexpected, but if we look at it, a lot of times we can see the signs that a storm is coming. But I think this was a moment in the life and the story of the disciples that was a turning point for them. That it wasn't just suddenly, meaning that this was completely unexpected, but this was suddenly because everything began to change. So they get in the boat, Jesus goes to sleep, suddenly there's a storm. Sometimes when you follow Jesus, you're put in positions where there could be a storm. They followed him. They had no problem getting in the boat because Jesus said, let's get in the boat, let's go to the other side of the lake. Yes, sir. Get in the boat, go to the other side. This is a place where there could be a storm. And suddenly, there was a storm. Yeah, maybe it was in the back of their mind, but what happened when they got in the middle of that storm was something that happens to a whole lot of us when we get in the middle of the storm. Yeah, we're following Jesus. We're confident. We didn't even question. Jesus says, go. We get in the boat, and we go. Jesus went to sleep. He was chill. Everything was good. Suddenly, there was a storm. What happened? They started freaking out. The Bible tells us in one of the other accounts that they were running around and they said, no, it says it in this one, Master, we are perishing. He woke up, he rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. They ceased. And then he said to them, where is your faith? That's why I use Luke's account today. Because the other two accounts translate what Jesus said. And we've got to remember that these are passed down and these are men that are translating what the Bible says. I believe that Luke's account is the most accurate translation, at least from my understanding, of what Jesus meant when he's saying this, where is your faith? Because if we look in Matthew's account, he says, why do you not have faith? I don't think it's that they didn't have faith. They got in the boat. I don't think it's that they had no faith. But Jesus asked them, where is your faith? What do you have faith in? See, did you have faith in my word that you're going to be obedient and that we're going to fulfill what I've called you to do? Or do you have faith in the storm? Where is your faith placed? Do you have faith that when I speak that the word is finished and it is settled in heaven and that God will perform the word that was spoken over you? Or do you have faith in the fact that you're looking around and suddenly there was a storm and you're going to perish? What's your faith in? Where is your faith? It seems that storms are always unexpected. We've got to think about this, that the disciples, if we look in the context, they had just come off of a spiritual high. I mean, not only are they walking with Jesus in the flesh every single day, they had just come from where Jesus miraculously healed a leper. And then the Bible tells us that Jesus was preaching to the multitudes, and they brought people to him that were demon-possessed, and he cast the demons out. And then it says they brought people that were sick, and he healed all of them. See, they were coming off. This was just a couple of days after Jesus fed 5,000 people from 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. These guys had seen the miraculous. They had seen it happen in their life. You want to talk about revival? You want to talk about the move of God? These guys had seen it close up. These things, 2,000 years later, we're still talking about the things that they had just seen. And they get in the boat, and then there's a storm. And they start freaking out. But what do you do? I don't care where you're at in your spiritual walk. What do you do when your suddenly happens? Suddenly, noun, an event that changes everything. What do you do when your suddenly happens? I'm going to give you 3 kinds of suddenly today. 3 kinds of events that happen in our life. What is your response to suddenly? See, the key to them overcoming the storm was their proximity to Jesus. Because a lot of times we get in the middle of a storm, but it's self-inflicted because we've gone off on our own and decided to do things our own way. That wasn't the case with the disciples. They were being obedient, and they found themselves in the middle of a storm. And they freaked out, which they shouldn't have done, but they went to Jesus and they woke him up and he took care of it. We said a few weeks ago that Jesus took care of that storm for them, not for their safety, for their sanity, for their peace of mind, not for their safety, because their safety was never in doubt. He said, we're going over to the other side of the lake. He was asleep. He didn't care about the storm. Storm can happen, storm cannot happen. I don't care, we're going to be fine. They wake him up because they were in doubt of what was getting ready to happen. They didn't know. Are we going to die here? Are we not going to die here? We're terrified. And so they wake him up and he calms the storm and then he says, where is your faith? The key to them overcoming was their proximity to Jesus, because the storm came, but they were in the center of obedience. You could say they were in the right position. They were in the right position. Many times we encounter a storm, but we're not in the right position. The word suddenly has that definition in the dictionary that says the unexpected. The unexpected. You know, I never asked for that. Have you ever been in that situation where you're like, I never asked for that? The unexpected just happened. But maybe you did. Maybe you did. Because God had placed you, maybe God had placed you in a certain position, but you saw a way to do it in your own strength, and you thought that was going to be better for you in your own understanding, and you didn't consult the things of God. And when you said, I'm going to do it on my own way, I'm going to go and do things based on my strength and not on your strength, and a storm comes, then it rocks your world because you don't have proximity to Jesus. You aren't in the center of obedience. You get into a relationship to satisfy your need for companionship, but it's not one that God wanted you to be in. And then when your world is rocked in that relationship, you don't know where to run. The disciples found themselves in a storm, but they knew immediately where to run because of their proximity to Jesus. You always need to make sure that you are in proximity of Jesus. What is your position? I don't care where you're at in life right now. What is your position to Jesus? That's the important question. What is your position to Jesus? Are you in his will? Are you in his purpose? You can handle the crisis if you're in position with Jesus. The disciples faced this storm, but they also knew who was in the boat. They were terrified, but they knew who was in the boat with them. He's the one that said, let's go to the other side. They can always say, you know what? I was just being obedient to the master. I was just being obedient to the master. So the storm had nothing. I don't know what to do, but I know who to run to. I don't know what to do. We find ourselves in those situations so often. I don't know what to do, but I know who to run to. This is the position that the disciples were in. I believe that they only received the lesson about faith because they were in the boat and because Jesus was in the boat. See, he wanted them to grow. He wanted them to learn. And I believe that they received the lesson because they were in the boat. See, I believe sometimes, as we're in the boat with Jesus, I believe sometimes he stops the storm immediately for us because we need it. But I believe sometimes he walks through the storm with us and keeps us safe in the middle of it. Amen? We talked about faith a few weeks ago. When we talked about faith, we talked about mature faith being able to rest in him. Mature faith is being able to rest in him. See, God didn't cause the storm. There's a lot of people that teach that God causes a storm to teach you a lesson. Storms come enough. God doesn't need to cause them. God didn't cause the storm in their life, but when the storm came, what did they do? They ran to him, and he kept them safe. It propels you to your purpose. So number one, suddenly can strengthen your purpose if you maintain your proximity to Jesus. Suddenly can strengthen your purpose If you maintain your proximity to Jesus. We see the word suddenly other places in Scripture that kind of have a different context, a different meaning. Saul, who became Paul, he was on the road to Damascus, and Jesus showed to him out of the blue. And the Bible says that he came suddenly, and there was a light from heaven, and it knocked him down, and he called out to the Lord. And suddenly he was changed. It was an event that changed his trajectory. Suddenly. We see the word suddenly when the angels appeared to the shepherds talking about the birth of Jesus. It says, suddenly there were with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts. And what were they saying? They were praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill towards men. The Bible says that that happened suddenly. Suddenly changed the trajectory of those shepherds because they were minding their own business in the field, and then suddenly everything changed for them. They were just doing what they were supposed to do. And suddenly everything changed because there was a king. Jesus appeared to his disciples after resurrection. We talked about it 2 weeks ago, where Jesus would appear to his disciples and he showed the scars that were on his hands and the wound in his side and the scars on his feet. And the Bible says in many of those cases, he appeared to them suddenly. Suddenly they encountered the risen Jesus. All of these examples were unexpected. People were minding their own business, and suddenly the power of God was present, and it changed their environment. And so point number two, suddenly can instantly take you from a place of wandering to a place of purpose. Suddenly, an event that changes everything. Suddenly, can instantly take you from a place of wandering to a place of purpose. Some of those suddenlies you didn't ask for. Some of those suddenlies you didn't know were coming. Some of those suddenlies were like Paul on the road to Damascus. Some of those suddenlies were like the disciples in the boat where they knew there was a possibility of something happening. Some of the suddenlies are suddenlies that you wait for. We have a different context when the Holy Spirit shows up in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. There's a different context. Jesus rose from the dead, and he walked the earth for 40-ish days. 40 days. The reason I say ish is biblical scholars squabble about when exactly that timeline started and when exactly it ended, and somewhere between 40 and 47 days. I'm not going to argue one way or the other. It's not relevant to my point today. But Jesus walked the earth and he revealed himself to people. He revealed himself. He showed the risen Jesus. He showed them the scars in his hands. But Jesus told his disciples right before he ascended into heaven. He told his disciples, I want you to go into the upper room in Jerusalem, and I want you to wait for power from on high. We see this in Luke chapter 24, starting in verse 44. And he said to them, these are the words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. And he opened up their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Very important in that last verse, he says, tarry until. I want you to say that. Say, tarry until. That word tarry, it means wait for it and don't move. Don't leave. I want you to tarry until. Excuse me. He said to them, tarry until. Wait until. You've been given a promise. Wait until you receive it. Wait until you have manifestation. Don't leave. Don't move. Wait until you receive it. How many of us have a promise, but we get impatient and we leave? How many of us are like, I'm going to wait 5 more minutes, and if they don't show up, I'm out. Right? Wait. Anybody like waiting? I don't think there's one person in the history of ever that likes waiting. Do you ever go to a restaurant and you have to wait longer than you thought you should? How do you feel? You get antsy, right? Makes you grumpy. You start to act ways that you wouldn't normally act, right? Just imagine if the waiter or the waitress heard everything that you said to your spouse as you were waiting. Because usually you give it to them anyway, right? Jesus said, wait until you receive. Wait until you receive. Look at this. Acts chapter 1, verse number 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. There's that word again, wait. Not to leave, but to wait. He commanded them, do not depart, but wait. Which you said you have heard from me, John, truly baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit, excuse me, not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Isn't that just like us? Jesus came to them and he said, hey, go to the upper room, don't depart, but wait, and you're going to get power. And you're like, Jesus, is this the time that you're going to do this? Wait, are you going to do this? Jesus, I want to see you do this. He's like, no, you don't need to know that. Chill out. But, and then he says the same thing he said before, but you will receive power. He's like, you don't need to know all that stuff because you can't handle that stuff. I guarantee you, I would say don't tell nobody. And then you would go and you would tell one person, but say not to tell anybody. Right? This is just between me, you, and the fence posts. Sure. And the next guy. Pretty soon, it would be on 411. It would be cool, though, because all the details would be filled in because everybody knows. So, he says, it's not for you to know, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be witness to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, when he has spoken these things, and while they watched, he was taken up. And the cloud received him out of their sight, and while they looked steadfast towards heaven, he went up. Behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who said, men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This is the same Jesus who was taken from you into heaven, will come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. And then it says, they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. And when they had entered in to Jerusalem, they went to the upper room where they were staying. This is what he told them to do, right? And it names all the disciples here. They were all there. And then it says something really important. It says, and these all continued. Say continued. These all continued in one accord. They continued in one accord. These were at least 11 guys that continued in one accord, all on the same page. How long? Somewhere between 3 and 10 days. They continued in one accord in a room between 3 and 10 days. And the reason I say that is, again, there's a lot of different opinions of how long this actually was. I don't know. But let me just ask you, could you be in the room with like 10 other people at least for 3 days and not leave, and you all be on the same page, thinking the same thing, saying the same thing, never having an argument, never having a disagreement, but you're all praying the whole time and speaking the same things? How difficult is that? How much of a challenge would that be? But they all continued with one accord in prayer and in supplication. Prayer, rehearsing God's goodness. Supplication, welcoming and asking for his presence. They continued in prayer and supplication. They were rehearsing his goodness. They didn't stop when they were earnestly desiring the promise. Jesus told them to go and to wait. And when they went and they waited, they received power. But how did the power come? I believe that they received the power because they were in the right position. That they would not have received the power of the Holy Spirit if they wouldn't have been obedient to the position. But how did there suddenly come? See, Jesus, and I was bothered by this word. And let me go ahead and read it in Acts chapter 2, verse 1. It says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were with one accord. There that is again. They were with one accord in one place, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them divided tongues as fire and set on each one of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. But I believe that suddenly here was not quickly and unexpectedly, because Jesus said, go wait in the upper room and you will receive power from on high. So when I looked at that word and I looked up the definition of the word suddenly, everywhere I looked, in biblical concordances and online and in dictionaries, everywhere that I looked, it said quickly and unexpectedly. But I just knew that this was not unexpected. Yeah, it was quick, but it was not unexpected for them. They went there expecting, or they wouldn't have waited. I wouldn't have waited. I would have left. 3 days? 5 days? 7 days? I don't know how long it was. I would have left after like 20 minutes. Nobody's showing up. Let's bounce. I'd rather be somewhere else. But they waited. And it says, suddenly there was a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole room. I believe that there suddenly came because they were in the right position. They positioned themselves for suddenly to happen. Have you positioned yourself for suddenly to happen in your life? I don't know what you're believing God for. I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what the challenge is today. I don't know what the vision is today. I don't know what God's word has been for you today. But I'm asking you, have you positioned yourself to have an upper room experience? Have you positioned yourself for suddenly? Another definition of the word suddenly, once I begin to dig. So there's like definition A, and a lot of times it'll list definition B. When I started digging and I started looking, I found like a definition like F. I don't know, it was way down there. It means suddenly can mean an immediate change of a character or situation. An immediate change of character or situation. That was in Webster's Dictionary. Pretty far down there. An immediate change of character or situation. I thought, that's it. That's it. What happened? They positioned themselves for suddenly, and then suddenly the Holy Spirit came. And what did he do? He immediately changed their character and their situation. He immediately changed everything for them. It was not an adverb. It was a noun. It was an event that happened just then that everything changed for them. Everything changed. Jesus kept saying, you're going to have power. You're going to be a witness. You're going to have power. You're going to be a witness. You're going to go out and set the world on fire. I've got these promises for you. But they wouldn't have gotten there if they wouldn't have got in the boat and Jesus said, where is your faith, when they started freaking out. They would not have gotten there if they weren't there on the day that Jesus broke 5 loaves and 2 fishes and fed 5,000 people. They would not have gotten there if Jesus would not have cast demons out and they saw the miraculous power in his hands. They would not have gotten there if they hadn't walked with Jesus, if they hadn't positioned themselves to trust Jesus, if they hadn't seen the scars in his hands and his feet, if they would not have gone to the upper room just because he said so, if they would not have sat there for 3 days or 5 days or 10 days or however long it was, and they wouldn't have gotten there if they wouldn't have stayed in one accord, and they wouldn't have gotten there if they wouldn't have been earnestly seeking the promise from the Father, they would not have been in position for suddenly to happen. But suddenly happened, and the sound from heaven came in like a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the entire room. I love this right here because it says it filled the whole room. It filled the whole room. That means everybody that was in the room was affected by the sound from heaven. Everybody. We didn't leave anybody out. When you position yourself for suddenly, it doesn't just affect you, it affects your family. When you position yourself for suddenly, it doesn't just affect you, it affects your coworkers, it affects your friends, it affects your neighborhood, it affects your city. As a church, we are positioning ourselves for suddenly. And when suddenly shows up, then the power of God comes in and it begins to rock this world for him. Amen. Hallelujah. We've got to position ourselves for suddenly, and we're forever changed. Suddenly, number three, suddenly can instantly take you to a new level if you're obedient in your position. Suddenly can immediately, instantly take you to a new level if you are obedient in your position. Many of us really like the instant part, but we don't like the obedience part. We love the power of God showing up, but we want it to fit our schedule and fit our timeline. Many of us love this idea of Holy Spirit come in like a rushing mighty wind, but these guys were in the right position for 3.5 years. And not only that, they were in tent for multiple days in one room and all stayed on the same page and continued in prayer. They continued in one accord. They wouldn't have experienced the power if they weren't committed to the position. I'm just going to be frank. In our society today, we bounce around with stuff. We place very little value on things like relationship and loyalty. I can be in love with you today and trashing you on social media tomorrow. And the first person that upsets us, makes us mad, we've got this idea of cancel culture, and it's running rampant not only in the world but in the church. We need to be different. Where has God called you? What has he called you to? What's your position? Are you in a position for suddenly, or are you moving around all the time because you get upset? The power of position and obedience. Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse number 2. It says, the Lord answered me. This is Habakkuk saying this. The Lord answered me, and he said, write the vision. Make it plain upon tablets that he may run who reads it, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it. There's that word again. Wait, tarry, there's that word. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come and it will not tarry. What? Oh, though it tarries, wait for it, because it's coming. It's not going to tarry. Wait, didn't you like 4 words ago say it was going to tarry, and then now you say it's not going to tarry? Let me submit this to you. Though you think it's tarrying, wait for it, because you think you're better than you are. Can I get that out there? And I'm not just saying it to you. I'm telling you, this message right here has completely upset my world for like 2 weeks, okay? You think you're in position, you think you're ready, and then your mind just starts doing crazy things because I think I'm ready and God's just not giving it to me. The enemy comes in and either makes you bitter at God or mad at yourself. And then you start thinking things like, well, I'm never going to get it. Or God's withholding it from me. He says, oh, but though it tarries, wait for it. It will come. It will not tarry. In other words, my timing, not yours. Not yours. I'm going to do it in my timing, not yours. Because sometimes it's tarrying and you don't realize that it's a blessing right now, but you better be happy, because if I gave it to you now, you would be really messed up. You need to learn a few things. You need to grow. And I'm not saying that to belittle you or anything. I'm saying that because God is merciful. Sometimes God doesn't give you things because he's merciful. You think he's being mean, but he's being merciful. He's not saying he won't ever give it to you. The parable of the talents. I didn't intend to go there today. I don't have the scripture in front of me, but think about the parable of the talents. The one servant was given 5 talents to steward over, and the one was given 3 talents to steward over, and the one was given 1. The guy that was given 5, he multiplied it to 10. The one that was given 3, he multiplied it. The one that was given 1 buried it and ended up still with 1. The thing is that God still gave him 1 because he was merciful. He was merciful. And yes, at the end of the story, he took the 1 and he gave it to the guy who had 5, but he didn't cast out the guy who had 1. He said, you got to learn a few things first, and then we'll try this again. We'll try this again, because he's merciful. I don't know, that guy could have been mad because he didn't have as many. He could have felt slighted. But God says, where is your faith? Let me walk through this storm with you. Let me help you position yourself in a place for things to happen suddenly in your life. But right now, the suddenly is like the storm in the middle of the sea. And when your suddenly comes, you start to get fearful and you don't know what to do. And so I'm going to teach you. These disciples were the same ones that were in that boat. They're the same ones. But they learned and they positioned themselves. You're suddenly will come at an appropriate time for your position. So here's what you do. Psalms chapter 1, verse number 1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, or stands in the path of sinners or sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth fruit in its season. It brings forth fruit when it's time, in its season, but the whole time it's soaking up. The whole time it's staying planted. The tree doesn't get discouraged because it's not bearing fruit. I have a peach tree in my yard. And the first couple of years, that peach tree didn't do anything, but it just stayed planted. I couldn't see anything that was happening. But below the surface, its roots were growing, it was soaking up nutrients, it was getting water, and it was becoming stronger. And it began to bear fruit in its season. This year, I don't know how old that tree is, 6 years maybe at this time, and it has more fruit on it than it's ever had. In fact, it's got so many peaches on it that it's weighing down. And one of the branches I noticed yesterday was almost all the way onto the ground. And so, I don't know, I need to tie it up or something. But it's got so much fruit on it because it's bearing fruit when it's time, in its season. It says its leaves don't wither. Why? Because it's got the roots. Its leaves don't wither because it's soaking up. It says its leaves do not wither. And then it says, whatever he shall do will prosper. He stays planted. He stays planted. Last scripture here. Let's have the worship team come up, please. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, it says, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will reap corruption, or of the flesh reap corruption. And he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Let us not grow weary while doing well, because in due season we will reap if we don't lose heart. You're going to reap in due season, but don't grow weary while you're in the process, because God is taking you through the process that he needs to take you through in order for you to be positioned for suddenly. In order for you to be in the position of suddenly. I may not be ready, but God, I'm willing. See, this is our prayer. I may not be ready, but God, I'm willing. I'm willing to go where you send me. I'm willing to do as you call me to do. And so I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait on you. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31, it says, but they who wait on the Lord, he shall renew their strength. They that wait on the Lord, it says, they shall mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and they won't grow weary. They will walk and they will not faint. Why? Because they're drawing their strength from heaven as they're in the season of waiting while they are preparing for their suddenly. They that wait on the Lord, he shall renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. So I'm not just waiting and sitting around for something to come to me. In the waiting, I'm preparing. In the waiting, I'm challenging my heart. I'm calling on the strength. This is our prayer today, so that we can position ourselves for the move of Holy Spirit in our lives. We can be endued with power. We can level up. We're in the time of waiting. I'm calling on your strength. I'm asking you, God, to teach me. I trust you to correct my path. I trust you to move me in a place that's past things that I've done in my past, to raise me higher. I trust you with my future, knowing that the plans you have for me are for my success. I lay aside my way and I position myself for suddenly. I lay aside my way and I position myself for suddenly. The first thing that you do to position yourself for a sudden change in your life is to say, Jesus, come and be the Lord of my life. And so if you haven't invited Jesus in, I want to give you the opportunity to do that today. The Bible tells us that today is the day of salvation. We're positioning ourselves for suddenly. So today, I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And I'm going to ask every person that's in the room and watching online to say this prayer with us. And the reason why is because we have strength in family. And so today, we say this together as family. You know, I may have done something before, but maybe some of my family hasn't. What am I going to do? I'm going to be right there with them as they're doing it. And so let's join together with our friends, with our family today. And let's call on the name of Jesus. Say this. Say, Jesus, I believe that you're God's son. I believe that you died on the cross for me. And I believe that you rose again. And I ask you to come into my life. And today, I call you my Lord. Because I can't do it on my own. And I invite you to help me. Thank you for loving me and pursuing me. In Jesus' name.